crack-a-lackin', boys.
We're talking Adam Jones. We're hating Adam Jones. He is a Felger clone. Sucks on the microphone. I wake up every day happy to go to work. You wake up every day hoping to be a jerk. Positive to negative, I'm oil to your water. You hate every team? Dude, why even bother? If somebody fails, you wail, hey you, you suck. Ortiz, Brady, I don't give a fuck. I know what you're gonna say before you hit the mix, cause all you take's a herd from 2 to 6. Here's a little game I'd like to try. Listen to my voice. Who am I?
Whoa, what is this place? Equipment? Lockers? Players?
It's you in a locker room. Gotcha!
We're talking Adam Jones.
Talk to a player once in a while.
And his monotone.
Sir, Pats win the Super Bowl. A heck of a win. Your first question to Bill?
Can you do it again?
And finally, Jones, here's what I know. I took it easy on you, cause I don't want to face Zoe. Jones, you stink. And here's the proof, cause what I'm about to say is nothing but the truth. A wannabe Felger is what you're all about. If Felger sat in a copy machine, your face would come out.
Adam Jones sucks on the microphone.
What's wrong with you?
Oh yeah, it's Adam Jones.
You hate everything.
You are a Felger clone.
I'm out. I'm sorry that I made you feel. Yeah, I'm not apologizing for this one. You're not nice. Have some fun.
Oh, Dan Roach.
You had no chance. You realized
that. That was great.
You had no chance to win that battle.
I'm just happy that karma came back to get Roachy.
So you're saying it was karma that sent him away from spring training?
Yep. Oh, what's this? A locker room? Oh, what's in it? Are these microphones and equipment? I don't know, Roachy, what's it look like down in Fort Myers?
You're a hard a-hole.
Maybe they changed it on you, Roachy. I don't know.
That's just wrong what you're doing here. My God,
you
Jones.
You going to take this, Dan?
What's this now? What's in spring training, huh, Roachy? Me and you have the same view.
The joy on your face.
Jesus.
So as you know, Dan... You know, we've been trying to get him on the show. Obviously, after you know he didn't go down to spring training, and you know there's a lot of different reasons, and they're legitimate, but it doesn't mean that he's not crushed, that he's not down there. Boy, you just love you are loving
leave
that.
It to Jones to dance on his head.
So, but I talked to him, and I want to have him on, especially after the signing yesterday, because this is a good day for him. I thought he would come on, and you know, it'd feel pretty good. But I'm wondering when the statute of limitations is to when he doesn't want to come on the show because of he doesn't want to talk about the spring training thing, and I understand why. I'm going to reach out to him today. I think that he would be a good juxtaposition to have in the show. Although there's not a lot to be mad about today. I mean, between the Bruins and what the Red Sox did yesterday, I mean, there's a couple things you can nitpick here and there, but overall, positive movement by both teams. So I do find it weird because I don't know when he's going to want to come back. Because that was the main thing. It's like, we'll come back and we'll just talk baseball. And he was like, I don't know. We'll have to see.
So, that's the thing. He's killing me to be unable to talk baseball in general.
Well, forget
spring training.
On a day like today. On a day like today where it's a good day for him. I mean, this is a day
for him. Weather's warm. I mean, this is perfect.
Okay, so...
Birds are chirping.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, sound of baseball's in the air. Pop of the mitt.
That's right. This is a day that he would absolutely shine. He wouldn't be able to keep in his pants. He'd be super excited. He would probably, start talking in poems, even though he didn't write one. This is a perfect day for him, and it bums me out that because of the whole spring training thing, he won't be able to come on. So I will continue to bug him. I will continue, not even bug him. I will continue to nicely try to coerce him into coming on the show and getting me excited. Yesterday was a good day, but it would be better if Roach could share.
I asked this earlier. How many stages are there to grief? Like 5?
I think there probably are.
So what stage is he in?
He's in the TV is finally back on after smashing it, turning it on, and as I said, seeing like some 20-year-old new Nesson reporter down there. He's probably getting pissed. Like, I would ask legit questions. I would make legit buddies.
Although, as you said earlier, you did say this earlier, the press is having a nice rundown in Fort Myers.
Oh, yeah. Like especially before the Martinez signing.
Maybe you get Roachy out of the way. Maybe they get all the... the questions in there.
Mm.
You think that's what's going on?
So you're saying it's a better spring training?
I don't know. That's what you said.
Oh, man. I see where you're headed with this, Jones. Yeah, again, maybe. Not nice.
Maybe.
Not very nice.
I mean, I didn't say that. That's what you said. You said the press is having a nice spring.
Yeah, I did say that.
Roche's not down there.
It is a good point. Did you see, by the way,
I didn't want to say that, but, you know.
Did you see the hoodie that David Price was wearing this weekend? The back of it said, "We need leaders." So he made his own hoodie to.
That is true, though. You
know,
they do.
They do. You know, so
they do.
But he made a hoodie to show the world.
And it sucks that you're one of them.
That's right. He's one of the leaders in the clubhouse.
That's like when they did the "I'm the Ace" T-shirts.
Yes,
that worked really well.
Yeah,
I think that was smart. Their little tongue in cheek, I thought, worked really well with that. So it's good that David Price is gonna pull on that.
But this doesn't suck as far as what Dombrowski was able to pull off yesterday, because you can't knock his ability to or what he was able to do as far as reading the market, figuring out that he was probably the only team that was negotiating with JD Martinez at the time, because Martinez wanted $210 million in 7 years, and they went low. Now, this is something that has backfired on them in the past. You remember what happened with
John Lester.
I mean, that was an epic backfire. But to that, I say, how did you not know with John Lester that he was going to get swooped up for a lot more than what you were throwing out?
My point is, I think they did. Just real quick about Lester, they knew what the price for Lester was going to be. It was a fake offer, especially with pitchers who get paid an enormous amount of money anyway. They didn't want him here. To their detriment, they completely were wrong about this. At that time, they didn't want to give a long-term deal to anyone entering age 30, which is a mistake, which they rectified by paying much more money to David Price.
Now they do routinely,
yes.
Sure.
But at the time, they didn't want Lester. They lowballed him on purpose. They had no interest in signing him.
Well, so now you've got Dave Dombrowski, who was able to sniff out the market. He said $100 million. And that's what the back and forth was over the last few weeks, was that he was staying at $100 million, and finally, I guess he budged, and they gave him $110 million. And then there's the second and third year opt-out, which is now available. But, I mean, talk about getting an elite hitter. What you needed more than anything on this team, you needed someone who could hit, and he is elite. And you got him for a whole hell of a lot less than what was originally being thrown out there.
Yeah. Does that make them better than the Yankees? Sorry to interrupt, Jones. Does that make them better than the Yankees?
I think it does.
You think that signing pushes them ahead of the Yankees?
I think it's what they needed.
I know they needed it, but
is that enough hitting?
Is that enough hitting? There are so many ifs on this team.
It takes pressure off a lot of guys.
But they were 93 wins last year.
Yep.
Right? And I don't know that all of a sudden they go to 97, 98 wins, but, you know, can you do 93, 94, 95 again? And, yeah, I think this is the exact kind of move they needed. What's annoying is that they should have done it last year. I don't mean JD Martinez. They should have made a move like this a year ago.
They should have paid Edwin. We talked about this last hour. They should have paid Edwin Encarnacion $60 million. They wouldn't have had to spend all this money on Martinez.
When the owner gets out of the way, let Dombrowski do his job. And I know a lot of people like to rip Dombrowski. Oh, he's stripped the farm system. Oh, he's done all these bad deals. I don't think he's done that many bad deals. You know, I did this at the trade deadline last year. The Travis Shaw deal was horrible. That one was horrendous, and he deserves all of the blame he gets for
but
that.
But at the time, what did we think? At the time,
yeah, but that doesn't matter.
No one knew Travis Shaw was going to hit 30 homers.
I was on board with trading Travis Shaw. Maybe Carrabas, who we're going to talk to 10 minutes from now, knew what Travis Shaw was going to turn into.
Well, talk to Carrabas.
For the most
course.
Part, that's the only horrible deal he's made. I think everything else he's done has been at least a wash, if not a favorable move for the team. So when the owner gets out of the way and doesn't say, "Hey, Dave, you can't spend," where the freaking Red Sox, you should be able to spend. When the owner gets out of the way and you let Dave Dombrowski do his job, I think he does a pretty good job.
Okay, does it worry you at all? There was only one bidder for this guy.
Yeah, that's a little concerning. That's a little concerning. But I don't know how many bidders there were for Hosmer either. And Hosmer ended up getting paid, you know, more.
Well, there are at least three.
There are other names being thrown around, but that was the only thing that
there were other names thrown around with Martinez, too. Diamondbacks. I mean, it was the Royals and the Padres. Who else?
The Sox were in on him early.
And then they signed Mitch Moreland.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. It doesn't feel like there were a lot of bidders on a lot of guys in free agency. So is it concerning? Sure. It's concerning that he was frustrated with the whole process. I don't know that he's put that in the past? I mean, is he still salty about what he's getting instead of what he thought he was? Yeah, I mean, is he still bothered about that? I think that's a legitimate question, but they got the bat they needed. I mean, this is the bat they needed in the middle of their order. So, yeah, I think they are better than the New York on paper.
I disagree. I don't think they're better on paper. I mean, obviously,
like
the Yankees.
You like the pitching staff over there?
Well, they have one. They have one starter over there. That's over with the Yankees you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have one starter.
That seems
but the
like,
offense will make up
like
for a lot
problem,
in that ballpark.
John.
Nope, the offense makes up for a lot in that ballpark. Vegas seems to think it's pretty good, too. They have an over-under of 96. I think the Yankees right now are better. As I mentioned before, a lot of ifs concerning the Red Sox. If David Price can go back to what he was. If Rick Porcello can
find himself. You just
said
the Yankees have one starter, so that's four ifs in their starting rotation.
I understand that, but look at the Red Sox starting rotation. You know Sale's going to be good if Sale can pitch well in September. If Porcello can find himself again. If David Price's elbow doesn't act up again. If Tyler Thornburg and Carson Smith can set up.
But none of that stuff worked out last year and they won 93 games.
I know that, but now the landscape has changed because your chief opponent got a lot better, which may mean more losses for you.
Well, it's going to be an interesting... I have to be honest. I thought that what happened yesterday was the first time where someone's going to be pissed at Dave Dombrowski, and that's all those people went up to him at Dunkin' Donuts and told him not to do anything.
Right.
And I mean, I'd be pissed. If I was them, I'd be rioting.
Yeah.
You know what I would do? I would actually have a sign right out front of the Dunkin' Donuts going, "You lied to us, Dave. You lied to us."
Yeah, he's going to deal with all them now.
That's right.
That is a shame.
He crushed them.
Little bits of munchkin get spit in his face while they yell at him. Yeah.
Best soundbite of spring training. Best soundbite, without a doubt. It's like, yeah, he just came up to me. Everyone's like, dude, don't do anything, man. We're cool with what you got. We're happy. Don't make any moves over at the old Dunks. All right, 617-779-0985. We got Jared Carabas, who is obviously very excited this morning. He's not Dan Roach excited, but he is Jared Carabas excited. We will have him on in just a few minutes.
Toucher and Rich.
Wake up.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's go Red Sox! Let's go Red Sox!
Go Red Sox!
98.5 is Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We have Adam Jones filling in this morning for Fred. And what a day for the Red Sox yesterday. It all started very oddly with a very combative question and answer with John Henry and Tom Werner and the press. And everyone was questioning their belief that the team was better, even though they had really not made many moves outside of the manager. And then this happens. Then J.D. Martinez.
They got rid of Chili Davis.
They got rid of Chili. Yeah.
Yep.
that was an interesting part of it. It seemed like Chili Davis was getting thrown to the bus a little bit. But a gentleman who I know has got to be very happy this morning, as many Red Sox fans should be, is Jared Carabas, our good friend from Barstool Sports, who joins us this morning. What's up, Jared? How you feeling?
Good morning, gentlemen. I was very disheartened to learn that I was going to be working with Jones today because I wanted to be positive and upbeat, and then the second that I heard Jones was on, I just felt like all the air came out of
it. Brings you down.
He's been
bit.
Surprisingly positive this morning, so wow. I'm just waiting for it to turn, and maybe it'll be during this break. But real quick, before, I have to talk about this before we get to the J.D. Martinez stuff, because I follow you and Rear Admiral on Twitter, and this weekend... Just could you briefly kind of fill me in on what happened with Michael Rappaport versus Barstool Sports?
Basically, we all just hated him, but we bit our tongues because he technically worked for us, even though it never really felt like he worked for us. And then he made a comment about Stoolies, a.k.a. Barstool Sports fans, being losers. We all saw that made the rounds. And then our editor-in-chief, Kay Marco, once he... sort of came at Rappaport, that was sort of the signal that, you know, all systems go, and it was free to sort of come at him and say whatever we wanted, and the entire Barstool roster just came at this guy, and then, you know, one thing led to another, and he ended up getting fired the next morning, so it was a great moment for the company.
Yeah, I saw you call it a Barstool Infinity War, where just everyone just ganged up on one guy. What did you not like about Michael Rappaport? What were people saying about him that they were finally felt free to say now that he had kind of declared war on you guys?
It bothered us how anytime that he would go on any other outlet, he would disassociate himself from Barstool, even though he was, you know, getting paid pretty well by the company, and the whole point of bringing him on in the first place was to expand the brand and have brand awareness in other markets, and he never, you know, served his purpose for us. And we don't really talk about politics, but he would go on these political rants, and it was just not what we signed up for.
Well, and I can see, I mean, you can tell us, Jared, you guys were all jealous of the big acting movie career too, right? All the hits that he's made.
Beautiful
and all
Girls,
the,
great movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
All those red carpet appearances with herpes on his mouth. That was what we were
All right, man. Well, it was entertaining this weekend. So, J.D. Martinez, it doesn't seem to be, especially for the money that they got him for, seeing that he was asking for $210 million in 7 years, the fact that they got him for what they got him for, it's got to make you feel pretty good, right?
Yeah, I totally commend Dave Dombrowski for this whole experience, for standing pat, for not buying into Scott Boras's BS, for not buying into John Heyman planting seeds for Scott Boras. You know, it was only, I want to say it was Friday night or Thursday night that Heyman wrote some column predicting that J.D. Martinez was going to re-sign with the D-backs. I think most people now see through that he sort of plants seeds to, you know, favor Scott Boras' clients. And, you know, their offer was more than fair. I think 5 years, $110 million was perfect for the Red Sox. They got their player, and they didn't just get their player. They got him at the exact price that they were looking to get him at.
When you look at the free agents from, you know, the last several years, I mean, everyone's been overpaid. Why do you think that the market was a lot softer than he had predicted and a lot of other people had for J.D. Martinez?
I think there are a lot of factors there. I think that there are a lot of teams who are saving up their money for next offseason when the free agent class is much bigger. You know, I think there's been a lot made out of players not getting high average annual values like they wanted, or not as many years as they wanted, but that's all going to change next winter. You know, Manny Machado is going to make big money. Bryce Harper is going to make big money. I think that teams are just getting smarter, too. You're starting to see teams employ, you know, stat geeks from websites like Fangraphs. Like the Padres just hired Dave Cameron from Fangraphs. So they're now implementing different ways of thinking versus the old school way of thinking. You're not going to trick, you know, a 78-year-old owner into looking at home runs and RBIs and then throwing tons of money at that anymore. You now have different advanced metrics to look at and different ways to evaluate players, where now you kind of look at peaks and you look at years where, you know, age 26 to maybe age 32, that's a player's peak. So teams aren't really jumping at, you know, paying $100 million plus for players that are going to be, you know, age 36, age 37. Like the days of the Albert Pujols contract, I think, are long gone.
Now, do you worry at all about how this went down? You know, how it started a little contentious, and you heard reports about him saying, Martinez saying he was fed up. And with Boston, he would rather sign with another club, and then him getting a lot less than what he originally wanted to get and maybe feeling slighted. Does that, in your mind, affect his performance, or will it affect his performance in any way or his attitude with the team once he joins the Red Sox?
I don't think so, just because there are two opt-outs in his contract. So it's a front-loaded deal. So basically, he makes $50 million in the first 2 years, and then he can opt out after the second year, and he can opt out after the third year. So I've seen sort of a lot of comparison to Pablo Sandoval. There is no comparison between these two players other than they're both free agents that signed with the Red Sox for 5 years. That's really it. But with Martinez, he wanted an average annual value of $30 million. You know, he gets the 5 years, $110 million, which over the life of the whole deal is not $30 million or anything close to it, but over the first 2 years, it's an average annual value of $25 million. If he comes in and produces like he did over the last 4 years, he can opt out and become a free agent after 2 years. So, I mean, it's a win-win for both sides. You know, if they have that bat for 2 years, maybe 3 years, that's great, which would be obviously the best years of that contract.
All right, Jared, I think I know your answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Now that the Red Sox have signed J.D. Martinez, which is a much cheaper version of Giancarlo Stanton, who's the favorite in the American League East?
I mean, I think it's a lot closer than people think. I think it's way more of a coin flip now than it was without this signing. If you look at it, I don't think that there's a definitive answer, and I know that that sounds like a cop out, but
yeah, that's not an answer.
If you bring back essentially what they did, the Red Sox brought back the exact same team that won the division last year, that won 93 games, and then they added an impact bat like J.D. Martinez. And I think with when you look at the Yankees, you have a lot of players over there who can take steps forward, but then you also have the addition of Giancarlo Stanton. So, I mean, only two games separated those teams last year. So, I mean, if I'm being honest here, there really is no favor. I think it's a push between these two teams. I think that they're very evenly matched.
So are you just afraid to say the Red Sox?
Yeah.
Is that right? Like that sounds like
that's
why. Like,
he wants to say the Red Sox.
Yeah. Just say the Red Sox.
Too chicken bleep to do it.
Just say the Red Sox. It's fine. You want to say the Red Sox, just say the Red Sox.
John, between me and you, I know that no one else is listening right now. I think that the Red Sox are going to win the division.
So I'm with you. I actually also think the Red Sox are the better team with this signing.
Who are you?
Who are you? Seriously, who are either of you guys? Carabas is hesitating and you're positive. Anyway, what the hell's going on here?
Just quickly, though, I actually agree with you on this. One thing that I think is both good and bad about this addition, J.D. Martinez is going to cut into Hanley Ramirez's at-bats, which is great. Hopefully, Hanley Ramirez, his option doesn't vest. Like, hopefully, he doesn't get the 490 or whatever at-bats it is. How do you think he's going to take to that, though? If his role is reduced in a contract year with a vesting option, how do you think that affects Hanley?
So I kind of look at it on the opposite side of things. I think that this motivates Hanley. I think that, you know, the last time that we saw motivated Hanley was the last time that we saw a good Hanley. And I think he's a lot smarter than people realize. Everyone thinks he's sort of this airhead, but he's really not. So I think that he's aware of how many at-bats he needs for his contract to vest for next year, which I know that the Red Sox are not going to allow, unless they absolutely force his hand, which I could definitely see if Hanley sort of sets the world on fire, which he is still capable of doing. So I think that's going to be one of the biggest storylines for this team this year is first-year manager Alex Cora. How does he sort of balance J.D. Martinez, knowing that he does want to get some reps in the outfield, and you have Mitch Moreland at first base, you have Hanley Ramirez, who doesn't really have a permanent home between DH and first base now that they're not going to trade Jackie Bradley Jr. Their outfield is set. So, yeah, I think that Hanley Ramirez, motivated with that vesting option looming over his head and the ability to sort of force his way into the lineup every day if he really puts his mind to it and his effort towards that, I think it's going to be an interesting storyline. So I'm not ruling out Hanley Ramirez just being some sort of pushover this year.
Well, Jared Carrabas, congratulations on the last 24 hours. Your favorite team got better, and you got to destroy the career of a D-list movie star in the process. So
what a week.
Yeah, what a week. All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Jared.
All right, thanks, man.
All right. Now, here's the headlines.
The games are only half of it.
Adam Jones filling in this morning. A surprisingly chipper Adam Jones.
This just blows me away.
Well, I mean, not a lot to be pissed about. It really is not a lot to be pissed about this morning. You're a Red Sox fan. You're a Bruins fan.
I'm trying.
Yeah?
His swirling vortex of negativity has been closed, apparently.
I'm working on it.
I'm rubbing off on you.
I'm trying to get all upset with Henry, Hanley. But yeah, I like JD. Not everyone likes JD Martinez. Not everyone. Some think he's a flash in the pan. Some think he's not worth the money. Like I happen to think, you know, when you hit the home runs he's hit over the last 3-4 years, that's a worthwhile investment.
Sure.
You know, I'm not worried about his defense or his base running or anything nerdy like that. I'm worried about the home runs. That's what I'm worried about.
Yep, and that's what they needed more than anything. So I don't think anyone can be upset about that. Now somebody who is upset and to the point where they had to apologize was Fergie, who sang the national anthem at the All-Star game, and she suffered from that thing that you see happen all the time, and that's, I'm going to make it my own itis, where they try to add a little extra flair, a little extra pizzazz, a little extra sass, and it ends up backfiring in the most horrible of ways. She actually had to apologize, which I thought was stupid. I mean, you don't need to apologize because you screwed up or wasn't received well. She didn't really screw up. She didn't forget the words. She just sounded ridiculous when she did it and tried to add her own zing. Let's listen to a second of it here.
Perform the Star Spangled Banner is an acclaimed singer, songwriter, actress, and 8-time Grammy Award winner from Hacienda Heights, California, Fergie.
Okay, real quick. Why Fergie? I mean, for the Black Eyed Peas, when was the last time they were relevant?
Well, no, didn't she? She did Sweet Child of Mine during halftime of the Super Bowl about 3 years ago.
The Black Eyed Peas did the Super Bowl,
that's right.
Which was like might be one of the all-time worst Super Bowl halftimes ever. The Black Eyed Peas, you're looking around like you can't remember. It was that unmemorable.
She was 2008, and we were all 2000 and late, and then that was a decade ago.
That's right. So Fergalicious? That was like 2006.
Yeah, they were relevant like a decade ago.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, honestly, and it's like, well, it's in California. Well, there's no entertainers in California. Right?
Nobody from California could have held in.
Who could you possibly have chosen?
But they got Fergie, which was strange. And then she struts up, and it's like, it is sass time.
Fergie.
Oh, say, can you see?
That's when you know, or yeah, that's when you're
getting tough.
Yeah. Bring out the sass.
What do you think she was trying to do there?
She's just trying to be like the jazz.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like a flapper girl.
I'm on top of the piano. It's like one of the Fabulous Baker Boys or whatever. Like, so this is the great thing is that they're starting to show the guys, you know, the players. And the players can't hold it in.
It's not going well.
Like, I mean, they're all, and that's when it's over. That's when you know that the public has turned on you, when you start to see the athletes themselves trying to keep it in. And they show Draymond Green at one point, and he has got his mouth agape. Like, and then I think he realizes on TV, and he just starts cracking himself up.
Like, yeah, they got me. This is terrible.
That's when the dam breaks. And I think they showed Jimmy Kimmel. Like, was that Jimmy Kimmel that they showed?
Okay. They cut to Jimmy Kimmel in the crowd.
And he's trying not to laugh. And even LeBron is, like, trying not to laugh. The only guy who seemed to keep it together was Steph Curry. But let's let it go.
What's so proud? Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming.
Okay, stop it. Okay, so there's a big chunk in there that's fine. Like, if she just would have stopped doing the sassy McSassy pants.
Well, you want to sex up the national anthem.
Like, her
a little
voice
bit.
Is fine. Like, it's fine. So I don't know why you got to put the extra gravy on it. All right, and then this is where they stop. They can't. Their faces just start cracking, and they can't take it. Right, just. All right, we can stop it there. I mean, yang, and that's when everyone kind of starts laughing. And people are saying this is like the worst of all time. It's not even near the worst. I mean, it was bad, and it was kind of embarrassing. And she had to apologize. She said, "I've always been honored and proud to perform the national anthem last night and want to do something special for the NBA. I'm a risk taker, blah, 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 blah." You don't need to apologize. All right, it just came out bad. It was dumb. People who need to apologize, if you want to talk about bad, all time bad, it doesn't even touch some of the ones that have been done before. Like, there was one time at the Daytona 500. This might be my all-time favorite bad one. They said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to rock up the national anthem.
Nice.
Let's get a butt rock band ain't nobody heard of. And here was the introduction.
Now here to perform our national anthem, please welcome America's most patriotic rock band, Madison Rising.
Okay, so the butt rock's ready to go in. It's a great day to be an American. So you're sitting back, you're like, all right, well, first of all, Kid Rock saying, F you, I'm the most patriotic rock band out there. And then Lynyrd Skynyrd's like, well, up yours, I'm the most patriotic. Then they just get in a huge brawl. Madison Rising, who are you, first of all? And then the grand finale.
In the rocket track, yeah, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there.
One more time for Madison.
Drivers climbing in their cars.
Yeah. Everyone trying to drive away from this mess.
Let's move away from this one.
Let's play some basketball.
Yeah. Let's play some basketball. Yes, let's do that. Just stop for a second. But I mean, all time worst. People were like going nuts. It was bad and it was like too over the top. And all you need to know is that what are the best national anthems of all time?
Whitney Houston.
You could say that Lady Gaga's was excellent a couple years ago at the Super Bowl, wasn't it?
A lot of people were talking about Marvin Gaye's. Was that
at the All-Star Game, too.
Well, yeah, right? Our All-Star Game as well.
You know what they did? They sang the song well. Yeah. They just sang the song, and they didn't try to, it's gonna get real sassy, yay, yay. They didn't have to do that.
For the land.
See, I don't even mind that. Like, that was
her
fine.
Voice is good.
And the home of the brave.
Yes.
She should
play some basketball.
Yeah, put some mustard on it.
She should have like thick skin made of iron. The woman peed her pants on stage and did an entire show with it. The pictures are out there and didn't care. Like you wet your pants on stage in front of an audience of thousands and just stand up and go, yep, I'm peeing myself, then this should be nothing to you.
Should be able to roll with the punches.
Yeah, you should be able to roll with the punches because you peed your pants in front of everyone. Listen, there's Carl Lewis, there's Roseanne Barr, there's a million worse than you. You don't have to come out and apologize. It was bad. Stop sassing up the national anthem. Just actually don't, because it's kind of fun and it's interesting and it's better than a good one. So I take that back.
I've been a proponent for years that I thought national anthem needed a little more sex appeal. Need a little more sexing up. So I think she finally filled that quota.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that they were able to get Fergie out there. I wonder what Alanis Morissette was doing at the time. As far as relevant singers.
Morissette.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm a Canadian singing the national anthem, Rich. Come on.
I mean, listen, she did, do certain things to Dave Coulier under the table, from what we've heard.
That's true.
It's all about you. What's it called? You want to know is about?
Yeah,
We're having like under the table shenanigans. All right, 617-779-0985. In just a couple minutes, we are going to have Billy Jaffe on with us to talk about the Bruins. Oh,
let's play some basketball.
Toucher and Rich.
Ramparts we watch with so gallantly streaming, and the Rockets. Free and the home of the brave.
Carl Lewis. Of course, the great Carl Lewis.
It's pretty good.
You can't even call that the worst one. The reason is that you cheer the guy on. Like, you feel for him. Because everybody goes, I'll make up for it. Like, the minute you do that, the minute you're, like, in the middle of the anthem, you admit, man, did I mess up. You get the crowd on your side. I had no problem with that one. Like, that was all right. You want more of that. You want more people who shouldn't be singing the national anthem to be singing the national anthem because you want to root them on. That's all right. It makes things way more interesting.
I'll tell you what. After hearing Troy George earlier today,
yes,
and then just hearing Carl Lewis now, there's a little bit of Carl Lewis and Troy George there. He's just kind of, I'm not sure that Carl Lewis had ever heard the national anthem before.
Maybe. Let me think.
And he's
just, Troy Brown does sound a little like,
I don't even mean,
come on and rock me,
I'm a diss. Troy Brown had heard all these songs, right? I don't know that Carl Lewis had ever heard it.
You don't think Carl Lewis had ever heard the national anthem?
I'm not sure. After listening to that version, I'm not sure he's ever heard it, but he just kind of belted it out with such confidence anyway, like Troy Brown doing Troy George.
Yes, of course.
He just kind of sang through it anyway, just kind of belted it out there. That's kind of what Carl Lewis
You might be right. Carl Lewis may have never heard that before. I mean, listen, it's never played at sporting events, and Carl Lewis never obviously was a member of any kind of team or individual.
Based on that performance, he had never heard it.
he may have been
there for it. Well, I'm not sure he ever heard it.
Well, this is this, and then what with this? I didn't even plan to play, but this is great. So, and pardon the cuts in the middle of it. This is just because there is a video of this, and the video was on and off. This is from different people's phones. There was a memorial that was done for a police officer. I think it was in Nashville, and like all the police officers, like, came around, and their buddy went and sang at one of them. He sang the national anthem. And throughout the whole thing, all of the cops are dying laughing because their buddy's up there and he just doesn't know the words. It almost seems like they set him up to do this. So here is this might be the all-time greatest.
Oh, see, can you see by the dawn's early light? Well, so hell the twilight at the last gleam. Who brought us fire o'er the rapids we walked midstream and the rocket's red glare bombs bursting in air gave to the night that the storm was still there. Oh, say it with grace and the home of the free.
You know who that sounds like, Rich? That sounds like Basil Marceau.
Oh, BasilMarceau.com.
Sounds exactly like Basil Marceau to me.
It's the great BasilMarceau.com. So, yeah, that is... Listen, Fergie, it could have been a whole lot worse. Just the fact that they couldn't hold it together, I thought was fantastic. And afterwards, they asked Draymond Green about it. They said, what'd you think about the national anthem? And he goes, well, she sang the national anthem. It wouldn't give him any more than that. So.
Yeah, she sang it.
Yeah, she sang it. She absolutely sang it. All right, we got Billy Jaffe. Who's going to be on with us next? And this Bruins team, it's great that people are finally watching. I mean, now that the Patriots season is over, everyone's able to get on board. And man, other than, of course, Saturday night, which was just awful. But you're allowed a turd like that when you've been playing the way that they've been playing. And the great thing about this team is that when they do end up having a game like that, which it's very rare that they've had a game like that this season, but when they have like a game where they just don't look like they're into it, they bounce back pretty damn quick. Like, this isn't a team that goes on big slumps. Like, they recover and they get back into things fairly quick, and that's a lot of credit, obviously, to the way that this team has been run by
Don Sweeney.
But Don Sweeney has been able to put together this thing, and it's been amazing the turnaround since all the changes have been made. I mean,
they're ahead of schedule. No one thought they'd be good this quick.
They're ahead of schedule, but the thing is that everyone's been expecting for them to go back to what we all thought they were going to be, and it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. The youth has continued to play at a pace that no one expected. You said it best. Brad Marchand should be in the conversation now for MVP. Everyone's talking about Patrice Bergeron, but look what he's been able to pull off. So it's been a fun team to watch. It's a team built to win. And it's an exciting team. It's an exciting brand of hockey. So we'll talk to Billy Jaffe right after the headlines, and he'll give us what he thinks on the rest of the season, as far as also the MVP for Brad Marchand as well. So much to discuss when it comes to the Bruins.